From Baffin Bay to Palo Duro Canyon and Mount Locke to Davy Crockett National Forest, when government works against your liberty, Pratt on Texas will sound the alarm. Now, here's your host, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a corporate management muzzle or leash. My friends, it's been a long day. Woke up early so that I could, with absolute concentration, read through the entire House committee report on the school massacre in Uvalde. It was released yesterday, and marked this thing up completely, spent a tremendous amount of time with it today, and we're going to do so on the show. It's our Lone Star story of the day. I've read it, footnotes and all, and I noted five major lessons, some of them not new, after a careful first reading. The murderer, the attacker, as they call him, they refuse to use his name for the right reasons, was a flashing strobe light of warning. So why was there no intervention at all on this guy? Well, I'll tell you, it's one of my major observations out of this. And it's something that people seem to miss all the time. And that is when it's our leftist and secular culture that enforces a blindness to these things. You're not supposed to notice. Everybody's an individual. You're not supposed to notice when people are different. We love the rainbow of diversity, except that humans naturally notice. It's built into our DNA. We notice things that are wrong or out of place, but we're hammered and hammered not to. And far too many Christians, far too many normal people who can see the problems simply cave into this enforcement of a cultural or an enforcement of a blindness of a type by our leftist culture. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing affordable drug and alcohol testing programs for businesses and institutions and truckers and fleet owners. Allied Compliance Services is your go-to person, your go-to group for your dealing with the clearinghouse at the DOT for all your drivers and also you individual drivers, your testing, and all those things you have to do. Learn more at alliedcompliance.com. Texas Democrat Convention in Dallas over the weekend was mostly a bust. About the only interesting part was that they seemed to break the law by ejecting a conservative news outlet just because they were there, not because the outlet was causing any trouble. Listen to the show anywhere, whenever it fits your time, your schedule, anytime, anywhere, or get the podcast of today's show and other long-form interviews at PrattOnTexas.com. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. Before I get to the Robb Elementary report, which is extraordinarily well done and tremendous, kudos go out there. Congratulations to Chairman Dustin Burroughs and former Supreme Court Justice Ava Guzman and State Rep Joe Moody out of El Paso, the Democrat, on this committee. And it was nice to see in the opening credits of this report, two folks associated with the show, Matt Crow and also one of our advertisers. The advertiser supports the podcast version of Pratt on Texas, and that's Ted Liggett. So apparently attorney Ted Liggett helped in this, probably in the review and writing and putting together and questioning and all of these things. So it was nice to see that. I want to get to this Democrat. I'll get to the report in a bit. I'm going to share a big part on the attacker, his background, with you. Be a little tough time-wise, but we'll do the best we can today. I wanted to tell you about what happened at the Texas Democratic Convention. They had their convention in Dallas, and the Texas scorecard was there, set up in a hallway somewhere. They applied for press credentials and told they'd be that they were all set, and then they never did get them, and they showed up, and they were told, well, we don't have space, and we can't accommodate your request, even though the convention was pretty much, they claim it was at capacity. It was far from capacity. I mean, it was not at all close to it. So they set up my hallway, a little back hallway, and didn't bother anybody. They didn't go around seeking the kooks out like the media does. They just stood there and let the kooks come to them and ask them simple questions. You know, what are your priorities? What do you care about? Is this your first time at a Democrat convention? Do you think Beto has a chance in November? Do you think Joe Biden be the nominee in 2024? And they had polite interviews with all kinds of delegates for over an hour. One of these crazy radicals who knew who they were started screaming and yelling that they were fascists and called a big scene. And I mean, got the mob involved and Then the K. Bailey Hudson, you know, the Dallas Convention Center security ushers informed them the event was private and they must leave, completely unaware, apparently with the Democrats too, that state law requires that you allow the media at both Republican and Democratic conventions. And there was parties nominating, I guess, in the, I don't know if it's all parties or just the ones that hold a primary election. And they wouldn't even give them the media credentials. But, you know, it's so funny about that. And they've got video of this. And it just shows the kind of people you're dealing with. But the real point was they didn't even have a quorum on Saturday, the big day, to pass their own platform. It was really at capacity. That's how boring and out of touch and out of step the Texas Democratic Party as a party organization is. So many people were bored to death, they just left on Saturday. It's one thing when it goes long or it's on a weekday. No, on the Saturday. No, they didn't even have a quorum to pass their platform. And they reelected Gilberto Hinojosa, that bigot, as the chairman once again. No surprise. I think he said this would be his last term. He's the guy that after he became chairman said brown people belong to him, you know, in his party. But it's interesting. It was a big bust, though. I mean, when you don't even have a quorum on Saturday, and yet he didn't even have a convention in person 2 years ago. You know, they were all scared of everything. Woo flu. And it just shows you what's going on. Couple of other little things. They've got a problem with arson in Snyder. KRBC reporting the fire marshals in Snyder said they had three separate abandoned structures burned, two in the city limits, one in Scurry County, within a three-hour time frame last Thursday night and Friday morning. That's dangerous. Hot and dry, very dangerous. Congrats to the Burns Ranch of Henrietta and their Cowboys, because the Wichita Falls Times record tells us they won the title of winning ranch in the 41st annual Texas Ranch Roundup Saturday at the Kay Yeager Coliseum. That's a two-day event with working cowboys doing their rodeo stuff, and it's really cool. And the Burns Ranch of Henrietta earned the bragging rights this year. An arms smuggler was busted near the border in Texas with 15 firearms headed to Mexico, according to the Del Rio Sector of Border Patrol. And they point out, we don't only prevent illicit narcotics and persons from entering the U.S., we stop money and firearms from cartels. That's right. Well, good. Now, there's just so much. I know we're loaded up, but I've got to do Today in Texas History, and it's because it's really important military stuff. There's a lot of it today. 18 July, sponsored, by the way, by USA Investigations, providing security, surveillance, witness interviews and statements, criminal and civil investigations, and much more. Maybe you got an employee that you'd like for cause for, you know something's up, but you don't, you know, think about them. That's a good use. Learn about them at usainvestigations.net. On 18 July in 1916, Horace Carswell Jr. was born in Fort Worth. 1946, he was awarded a Medal of Honor for giving his life to save all members of his crew and for sacrifice far beyond that required of him. Back in WW2 in 1944, and the Fort Worth Army Airfield was renamed Carswell Air Force Base. In 1917, Camp Bowie was established near downtown Fort Worth. It was named for the Alamo hero Jim Bowie. Served as an army base in WW1. This is the date, 1917, for World War I, that the T-Patchers were mobilized by the War Department, as we used to accurately call it. And 36th Infantry Division, known as the Texas Division, or the T-Patchers at Camp Bowie. And mostly Texas National Guard troops. They fought in World War I, again in World War II, and boy, they had a great record. And on this day in 1918, Daniel Edwards of Mooresville, Texas, accomplished feats of valor in France that earned him the Medal of Honor in World War I. And he was returning to his own enemy lines with prisoners. His leg was shattered by an enemy shell, but he crawled. Oh, man, I mean, this guy went in those trenches and, oh, neat story. Daniel Edwards, look it up, my friends. All right, my friends, we'll be back with more in a moment on Pratt on Texas.
Don't miss what Pratt says next. More Pratt on Texas after the break.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
If providing health insurance for yourself or your employees is costing more than you can afford, listen closely to this message.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
And with the price almost reaching the point of unaffordability, employers are looking for solutions. And my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution. We enrolled a local company, and we were able to save that employer one-third of his budget, which was equal to a little over $100,000 that he was paying prior to working with my agency.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Mike and Jason find and rehab good condition, good reputation work trucks that can help you and your business. Half ton all the way up to 2 ton work trucks. Mike and Jason are hands-on, finding trucks and working on them in the shop. Call them at 806-687-1115 or go to specialtytrucksoflubbock.com to get Mike or Jason's cell number. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
Now, here's a man that carries his own traveling soapbox. Pratt on Texas continues.
The investigative committee, welcome back to Pratt on Texas. The investigative committee on the Robb Elementary shooting released its big report yesterday after meeting with family, all the families there in Del Rio, chaired by our friend Dustin Burroughs. And again, Ted Liggett, one of our sponsors, and Matt Crow, one of our good friends, listed in the little small list of acknowledgments for helping with the report. I wanted to mention that. It is, I've read it all, footnotes and all. I've read it carefully. I've underlined, marked it up, all kinds of things. I want to share part of it with you, and maybe we'll share more of it over the week. It takes time, but I think it's important. I want to just summarize, and you'll have to read the report if you want to figure all this out on your own, but there's a bunch of media stories, 3 takeaways, 4 takeaways, 5 takeaways from the report. I've looked at them. They're all, they're okay, but they're fairly surface level pedestrian events. Let me give you my 5 takeaways that I didn't even tend to write down, but things that just hit me really strongly as I was reading the report, and I just started jotting them down in red pen on the cover sheet, and that's what I'm reading from. Number one, believe it or not, our open border played a big role in the loss of life there and what happened at Robb Elementary School. That's right. It involves the cry-wolf syndrome. And we found out that they've had so many of these smuggler bailouts on a nearby highway and so many lockdowns since they put their system in place earlier this year that they had become, and I mean, it's serious, I mean, real smuggler bailouts where people are scattering, wreck a car and scattering, that it had created the cry wolf syndrome, where people just didn't take immediate alarms that seriously. And it's detailed in the report, page 22. My second big takeaway, the independent school district plan, they had a full active shooter plan on paper, had their own police department that had submitted it the way the law says you're supposed to, and apparently not many districts have actually done it, but a plan and all that, a good plan that had been approved by the state, but it wasn't largely used in practice. Now, by the way, the overall thing you're getting from the headlines out there, I mean, the overall takeaway you can get from the headlines, let me, before I go through the rest of mine, here are those headlines I'm talking about. Egregious poor decision-making. Nearly 400 cops gathered at Uvalde School before anyone did anything. AP, damning report, new footage shows chaos of Uvalde response. AP, Uvalde report, 376 officers, but egregiously poor decisions. Express News, San Antonio victims, families furious after horrific details surface in new report on Robb Elementary shooting. KPRC body cam footage released, acting police chief from day of shooting placed on leave. Uvalde mayor says, he didn't do anything worse than anybody else. So that's the big takeaway. I mean, and we sort of already knew that was coming. I just had some takeaways. Everybody thinks, well, if we have more bureaucracy, we have all these plans, we do. I've learned in life, good folks who are really good at things do systemize and plan. But bureaucracies tend to spend a lot of time and money in plans, and they don't do anything. In this case, my second big takeaway as I read this was that, yeah, they had this great plan on paper, written in part by the police chief that was an absolute failure, it appears there, of the school district police chief, but it was largely not used in practice. None of the good came out of it. And I think that's common for this kind of thing. You know, bureaucracies tend to react this way. Well, let's have a committee. Let's come up with some. By the way, this committee was a fact-finding committee, not a policy committee. They don't make policy recommendations. That's for other House committees. But this is what people tend to do, and it's often ridiculous. You know, you put it on paper and you spend all this money and time, and then it doesn't get used. My third big takeaway was law enforcement training mandates don't ensure much. And I think that's true across everything. You know, that's another bureaucratic, both in big companies and in government particularly. Well, everybody has to go to training. Well, you know, we've been training people on sexual harassment since way back in the late 80s and early 90s at companies. Why in the world is there still sexual harassment out there? This kind of stuff is a feel-good. Well, and sometimes it has value, don't get me wrong, but mostly it becomes just another industry and the same people run it and make money off of it. And they had all this training. They had training mandates for the alert system and the mass shootings, and it's quite clear that it didn't really do much for us. Because, and you can't blame the school district just for that. Almost every police entity there, and there were tons of them. It's as if, okay, they all had this training, but what good did it do? So, again, the idea of we're going to have policy, we're going to make everybody have a plan, and then the next one, everybody's going to have training. Real world, often not worth the effort, or at least it's certainly not a solution. It may be part of an overall thing, but it just not that effective. The fourth thing I took out of all this, and this is where I want you to listen to about the attacker, and I think this is our Lone Star story of the day. Our secular and leftist both, there's a little separation there, our secular and leftist culture teaches and seeks to enforce a blindness to all of us, to many of the most easily seen and identifiable naturally, to just normal people, no experts needed, warning signs. And this kid was a flashing strobe light of it. Well, what do you mean, Robert? I mean, you're not supposed to notice when people are different anymore. We're all free spirits, you know. All that was conformity when everybody had the buzz cut and people had to wear a tie to school and all that. You see, you've heard it your whole life. You don't even realize how much of it you have succumbed. I guarantee you. And I don't believe in authority mandating things on people, but they weren't generally back in the day either. What's happened is the culture's told you that diversity is the ultimate goal and diversity of everything. You know, I have friends and a lot of people have a lot of tattoos that show and stuff. I noticed them instantly, though. When I started in business, unless you were a Marine or something, you would know, you'd have a hard time getting a job with tattoos showing. And I'm serious. A lot of most jobs, not just, you know, white collar office jobs. Tattoos aren't necessarily the problem. What I'm telling you is people notice things whether you like it or not. And this cultural leftist stuff, and a lot of it's secular, has been beating into your heads that everybody's different. Unwed parents, shacking up, all these things that people used to take notice of and actually would say something about or try to intervene in, you name it. It's been drummed out of us. It's been drummed out of us. We have no right to judge anybody about anything. Well, you leftists that are so worked up over this stuff and over your safety, you know, a gun didn't make anybody do anything. That's quite clear in here. But I'll tell you something. The society you've created had a hell of a lot of influence on it. But more importantly, you're the ones that want this stuff. Oh, it's got to stop. It's got to stop. But it's your demands on the culture that have said it's wrong to say anything. Oh, it's wrong to intervene. And we just never end that. I mean, and you get the stupid stuff like Scarborough Morning Joe over there on MSNBC. He said, we read the horror of the Uvalde story, and there is a horror. The bad decisions that were all made. All of that started with an 18-year-old being able to buy an AR-15. Really? That started it? You didn't read the whole report then. See, that's their point. A guy whose intent and wants nothing more than to become infamous by killing and murdering innocent people, in this case, little children. That's not the start. See, none of our social, none of this secular culture we've pushed, none of that's responsible. None of our good intentions, none of our failures is responsible. It's only the fact he could buy the gun. Of course, that forgets the fact he could have killed people easily any other way. With that pickup he stole from his grandmother, he could have run over the kids on the playground, had the same effect. And then Scarborough's so stupid he thinks the fact that because all these police officers were outside and they had guns and didn't do anything, that makes laughable the Republican idea of you know, good guy with a gun. Except, of course, second time in 2 weeks we've stopped shootings. You know, a big shooting in a mall in Indiana last night stopped by an armed citizen. Well, I'm going to get to the attacker in a moment.
We're talking Texas. More after this.
What happens if another party responsible for your injury doesn't step up to make your loss whole? How do you go about getting what you're owed for your loss? Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group can help get those responsible to actually accept and act on that responsibility. Ted Liggett does it every day with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
Laugh if you must, but friends know that I had a hard time finding words to express how positive my experience was going to the dentist. Not just any dentist, but Dr. Sylvia Suniga of Dental Care. Money matters too, and it cost us less than half of my lowest quote at home to visit Dr. Suniga at Dental Care in Costa Rica. That included a top hotel for a week, fancy dinners, airfare for both Isabel and me, and a private driver, and much more dental work than those local quotes covered. In fact, I had it all done. No wonder my Lubbock neighbor had been using her for his dental work for years. The work was the best I've ever had, the attention to detail more than you'll get here. If you have expensive dental challenges or just need crowns or cosmetic work or implants, learn more about Dr. Sylvia Suniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. See Sylvia's beautiful face and click the banner at my website, prattontexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
He reads the entire state press each day, so you don't have to. It's your Texas anchorman, Robert Pratt, with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. We look at the Robb Report, Section 4, the Robb Elementary Massacre's report out. The attacker, Section 4, begins on page 29. Look, I'm going to have to summarize some things here. They're calling him the attacker. He wanted notoriety and fame like most of these people. Chairman Burroughs and the committee, absolutely right, not mentioning it, and they chastised the media a little bit, too. Say, we regret that others, under cover of anonymity for their own motives, anonymity, have sensationalized evidence of this horrible tragedy at the risk of glorifying a monster. Let's just put it this way. This attacker was born in Fargo, North Dakota in 2004. His mother was a Uvalde native. She was shacking up with a boyfriend. No marriage, no family stability of the nuclear family that the left has been attacking and saying we should never notice. Oh, no, we should never notice. Except, of course, we've got to have that for homosexuals. Isn't that odd? Anyway. Then, of course, she has the baby. They split up. He's had limited, the father just was a shack-up boyfriend and hadn't had much involvement since then. And even when interviewed, it's kind of like, well, he just didn't have any love for me. Well, no kidding. Mother came back, worked at Uvalde restaurants as a server. People know her well. Apparently her mother's well, she's had a rough life, been on some drug problems and, you know, some things. Claims one of their boyfriends, actually another person claimed that this attacker was sexually assaulted by one of her boyfriends in an early age, but the mother didn't believe the outcry. We see this often. Doesn't mean it's true, but likely, who knows? Relatives describe the attacker as shy and quiet. They heard testimony. He was reluctant to interact with peers, all that kind of stuff. And of course, I think a Democrat member made sure we got a line or two in here about it. Poverty. Poverty. It's not uncertain. The problem is poverty. They point out it's 86. Most people there are poor in Uvalde. It doesn't make them murderers. So don't blame it on poverty, you leftists. And his school records. He had was real good, real young, and then was really bad and was really behind. I mean, this kid was 17 when he completed ninth grade, I think. He got very behind. And the all the funding we've made, by the way, we learned in here, wasn't apparently used to look after him and give him the special stuff he needed in school. It's a pretty big indictment, not just to police and how they handled it. If you read this carefully, what you read is all these billions we throw into public schools and all these programs and these positions and counselors and special ed this and that. It's just government. It's just government. People get left behind. They don't manage it. In fact, they took him out of school. Due to attendance, they involuntarily withdrew him from the high school in Uvalde. They didn't counsel him. It appears in the committee, they didn't do anything to try to get him some help or anything. Now, he may not have wanted it, but the point is the school doesn't really know because they didn't do it. Tacker's fourth grade year at Robb Elementary was significant to him. The shooting took place in his former fourth grade classroom, and he discussed bad memories of fourth grade with an acquaintance just weeks beforehand. We learned that. But teacher then said it was a good year and that her classroom was a safe place for him. Others said that he was bullied throughout fourth grade over his stuttering clothing and short haircut or something, you know. But on the records of his records, despite what others say, all his stuff that he had talked about on his phone and computer stuff was that his stuff, the problem started in middle school, not fourth grade. He had declining attendance with more than 100 absences beginning in 2018, along with failing grades. Terrible performance, while Uvalde CISD, school success officers, see, there's another bureaucracy we pay for, do try to bring Truett children back to school. Many Uvalde students have spotty attendance, and the local judicial system reportedly doesn't consistently enforce truancy rules. Despite his absences, or perhaps because of them, the attacker had almost no disciplinary history at school. So were they really intervening? Single infraction was a fight, mutual combat one day, got a 3-day suspension. By 2021, at age 17, he had only completed the ninth grade. The high school involuntarily withdrew him, citing poor academic performance. And they point out that while he dropped out and the dark turned in a dark path, while in earlier years, notes in his phone reflect he unsuccessfully sought to fit in, including a fixation with weight and fitness that resulted in an eating disorder. In 2021, he appears to have increasingly withdrawn and isolated himself. One witness talking to Texas Rangers said he frequently punched holes in the walls of his room after arguments with his mother. In fact, he even live streamed a big fight with his mother. I mean, it was just going on crazy. By middle of last year's relationship with a girlfriend he had, who the FBI interviewed, ended, she described the attacker as lonely and depressed, constantly teased by friends who called him school shooter. She said he told her repeatedly he wouldn't live past 18, either because he would commit suicide or simply because he wouldn't live long. Attacker responded to the breakup by harassing the girl and her friends. The attacker began wearing, this is part of this secular culture, by the way, where you're never supposed to notice anything. Attacker began wearing black clothes, combat boots, and long unkempt hair. Remember the left, the Democratic Party, right now passing laws about not having hairstyle rules, and they're always against dress codes at school, and remember the long hair, and I'm just telling you, the culture has hammered you to say you're a bigot when you notice something's out of place. And this guy, meantime, has all those things normal, regular people of all sides of the political spectrum notice. But, of course, you can't say anything. Tacker began wearing black clothes, combat boots, and long, unkempt hair. He was active on several social media platforms, including TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and the French live-streaming platform Ubo. He networked with local peers and ongoing group chats on Snapchat. He played a range of video games, including Call of Duty and Grand Theft Auto. Most of his usernames, even his email address, reflected themes of confrontation and revenge. The attacker began to demonstrate interest in gore and violent sex, watching and sometimes sharing gruesome videos and images of suicides, beheadings, accidents, and the like, as well as sending unexpected explicit messages to others online. Those people he played video games with reported he became enraged when he lost. He'd make over-the-top threats, especially toward female players, and would terrorize them with graphic descriptions of violence and rape. Of course, none of these knuckleheads online go to the authorities over stuff like that. I don't know. His online interactions grew more manipulative and controlling as the year wore on. He presented more of a commanding personality online than he did in person. Yeah, he was living a fantasy. He pretended to a greater level of maturity. He'd searched the internet for, you know, sexual practices other people mentioned so he could you know about it and pretend that he engaged in all this. He wrote about his difficulty connecting to other people or feeling empathy for them. He said he was not human, and he called others humans, apparently intending it as an insult. Later, internet usage suggests he may have wondered if he was a sociopath or sought out information on the condition. The attacker became focused on achieving notoriety. He believed his TikTok and YouTube channels would be successful. The small number of views he received led him to tell those with whom he interacted he was famous and that they were mere randoms by comparison and that they were lucky to interact with him. On Yubo, the attacker spoke enviously of publicity given to a murderer, an animal abuser, whose story became widely known after a Netflix documentary. In late 2021, he shared a video online that showed him driving around with, quote, someone he met on the internet, end quote, holding a clear plastic bag that contained a dead cat, which he discarded in the street and spit on while his driver laughed. The video then showed the attacker wearing a tactical plate carrier. That's the carrier that you put the plates in front of to protect your body from bullets. Went on to show him dry-firing BB guns at people and ended with footage of emergency services responding to a serious car accident which he claimed his driver had caused. The attacker got a job in late 2021, first at Whataburger, where a friend's grandmother saw him. She snapped a picture and sent it to her grandson, warning it was an example of what your life will be if you quit school, a sentiment some of his peers expressed to him directly. His employer fired him after a month for threatening a female coworker. Now, see, this is public stuff. This isn't online. This is in a workplace. Threatening a female coworker. And he faced similar fate at Wendy's when his next job. A coworker there described him as not a good person and troubled, someone who'd put himself in a box and would not talk or associate with anyone he worked with, except he tried discussing guns with another employee that was taken badly, and then he ended up getting out of there. His grandfather paid him cash once in a while to help him in his business. We'll pick this up in a moment when we return on Pratt on Texas. This is the Texas Hour.
The news and commentary of Texas continues after this.
Plan to join me for the 2022 Hunter's Banquet and Auction on Saturday, August 27th at the Lubbock Memorial Civic Center, sponsored by People's Bank. The Hunter's Banquet and Auction features good times, great food, premium live auction, silent auction, and so many chances to win everything from fine art and luxurious vacation trips to guns, knives, more guns, fishing trips, and hunts nearby and around the world. And did I mention guns? Hunter's Banquet and Auction is Saturday, August 27th. Tickets will be on sale soon at lubbocksportsman.com.
If your business depends on its computers, remote managed services from Jeff Barker Computer Services is a must. Managed services from Jeff Barker Computer Service reduces problems and failures by monitoring and maintaining your computers remotely. And when something goes awry, you have an expert to help you immediately with full knowledge of your system. If you depend on your computers, managed services is what you need. Visit jbcs.com, jbcs.com, to learn how Jeff Barker Computer Service can help you. jbcs.com.
Your 401k is likely one of your most important assets, but it's only one part of a comprehensive retirement strategy. Edward Jones can help you understand how your retirement assets fit into your entire retirement picture so you can work toward meeting your unique retirement goals. Contact Mark Miller, your Abilene Edward Jones Financial Advisor, at 3849 Oldham Lane, or visit edwardjones.com. Edward Jones, making sense of investing, member SIPC. Texas Battery is mobile. Texas Battery's mobile service can install a new battery for you at your location, even by appointment. Have an urgent situation? Call Texas Battery. Get the correct vehicle battery from the experts and a switchover without a power loss from Texas Battery. And remember, Texas Battery will come to you. You'll get Texas-sized service from Texas Battery. Texas starts with Texas Battery. Learn more at TexasBattery.com. TexasBattery.com.
You are in the right place at the right time for news and commentary of Texas from the right perspective. It's Robert Pratt with the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. More on the attacker in the Robb Elementary School, Uvalde School massacre from the big report out. Living at home, the attacker had no real expenses and hoarded money, telling acquaintances that he was saving for something big and that they would all see him on the news one day. Family members believe he was saving money for his own apartment or car, yeah. But clues to his real plan surfaced near the end of 2021. That's when he ordered rifle slings, a red dot sight, and shin guards, as well as body armor carrier worn in both the video he shared and on the day of the Robb Elementary massacre. Still 17 at the time, the attacker asked at least two different people to buy guns for him. They both refused so to do. Interviews conducted by other investigators indicated family members and friends were aware of his efforts to buy guns before he was legally permitted so. Finally, the attacker developed a fascination with school shootings, of which he made no secret. His comments about them, coupled with his wild threats of violence and rape, earned him the nickname Yubo's School Shooter on that platform. Those with whom he played, there are millions of people watching this stuff, folks. The people thought it was a running joke. Even those who personally knew his local chat group locally called him the school shooter after he shared pictures of himself wearing the plate carrier he'd bought and posing with a BB gun he tried to convince him was real, you know, a firearm. None of his online behavior was ever reported to law enforcement, and if it was reported by other users to any social media platform, it does not appear that actions were taken to restrict his access or report him to authorities as a threat, period, might I add. But if I say something questionable about the government on WuFlu, they'll take me down. If you make a political statement that is mainstream as heck, they take you down. But these lying bleep companies... This stuff is going on in the millions daily. All this grotesque stuff and the pornography daily on their platforms in many cases. And of course, there's no talk about really shutting that down. It's where the money is, folks. The last days section. While a vague idea for a school shooting appears to have been the attacker's mind as early as late 2021, he began to pursue his evil plan in early 2022 after falling out with his mother. A blowout argument between them was live streamed on Instagram. Who does that? And several members of the family viewed it. Although sheriff's deputies responded to a call, they made no arrest. Soon afterwards, the attacker left home, moved in with his grandmother just blocks away from the elementary school. His relationship with the mother never improved. The grandmother's pretty well thought of, and she seems to have tried to do the right thing through all this. The father, who didn't have much to do with him, the old boyfriend, the shack up, appeared, said he did seem and seemed like he had self-inflicted wounds on his face. Attacker moved to his grandmother's home, and after he bought the guns and stuff, I think she told him he couldn't have them in the house. Of course, the uncle kept them for him or something. Susie turned 18 May 16th, a week before the shootings. He was able to purchase guns. It's very clear he bought very expensive firearms. The owner of the store remembered asking how an 18-year-old could afford such purchases. They were over $3,000. The attacker simply said he had saved up. But the business owner said he was an average customer, no red flags. Yeah, he wanted to make a sale because patrons of the store who saw him said a different story in FBI interviews, saying after the tragedy, the attacker was very nervous looking. He appeared odd and looked like one of those school shooters. Quote, another described his all-black clothing as simply giving off bad vibes. His uncle drove him to a gun store twice. Didn't know that. He thought they were going to a restaurant next door the first time because that's what the kid told him. He was hungry, and then he came back with a long box and no food. It was obviously purchased a rifle. Anyway, the grandmother and cousin told him he couldn't have the gun in the home. The uncle agreed to store it at his house. He had no experience with firearms. In fact, they say in the shooting, it's clear. It talks about how he didn't really know anything. He even thought juggernaut armor from a video game was real and was trying to order that. And it goes on. In March 22 online, an Instagram group conversation, a student telling people at the school talk bleep about you and call you a school shooter. Later, the attacker referenced a timeline on April 2nd. In other words, he told him. April 2nd, he said in a direct message on Instagram, are you still going to remember me in 50-something days? The answer was probably not. He retorted with, all right, we'll see in May with a thumbs up. Attacker often connected those dates with doing something that would make him famous and put him all over the news. In fact, it's all over. I'm not going to go through all the details. They even have screenshots. He was on one of these things with, let me finish this. Prior to the shooting, the attacker had no criminal history and never been arrested. He's not known to have espoused any ideology or political views of any kind. Private individuals alone knew the many warning signs, but it's lots of private individuals and lots of people all over. This guy actually said, and I'm telling you how filthy this stuff is. You're letting your kids play online. Somewhere in here, he was talking about this online. He's going to do this stuff and kill people or something. And you know what? I think a German teenager was online with him, and the answer to it was cool. Cool. I mean, this is what's going on. And if you look into the details, and there's a lot here that I'm not giving you, but the whole thing was That doesn't mean somebody who's odd or it does. Look, the fact that somebody's troubled doesn't mean that they're going to be a murderer. But it doesn't. But you got to finish it. You know, the way somebody dresses and acts, that doesn't mean they're going to go commit murder. That's right. But it doesn't mean they're not troubled. And in this case, all these big government things we're all told to trust. The school really didn't do much about this kid. And there's stuff on that in here. I mean, he just, you know, where was all this coaching and special ed stuff to help him? I'm saying he might have rejected it, but that wasn't the point. It wasn't even there, but we're paying billions for it. See, that's the solution to everything. Now we're going to have more mental health and all this. How is this any going to work? The bureaucrats don't want to mess with it. They're people like everybody else want to go home at 5 or 4:30. There is so much in this. And yes, the police failure is just damning, folks. You can go through this and it is true. There's stories out over the weekend. Uvalde officials painted police response to Robb Elementary shooting as heroic. This report gives you the details as to why Governor Abbott, because the liberal press has been griping about, well, he praised the law enforcement in that big press conference right after it happened. Yeah, he was misinformed. And you learn why. The local cop who was supposed to do the press conference, who was on the scene, fainted in the hallway before the first press conference. And instead of canceling it, they let another guy come in, I think DB or some, who wasn't even on the scene till after everything was over. And there was just a lot of misinformation. It was awful. And the report is just, and it's not just that. And I want to tell you something else. Because nobody wants to do it. Because, you know, teachers are all wonderful. The teachers and staff and faculty have a lot of blame on them. And the fact-finding report details it. Some of them are rule followers. Other ones known to their local police and to the school and the minister. Didn't lock their doors. Prop doors that are supposed to stay locked up. All in contravention of their security plans. And it goes into detail. There's a lot of them. And by the way, that's not hearsay. They interviewed all these people. Teachers, faculty, you name it. I love it, the teachers' unions. It's not fair. We shouldn't have to protect. Let me tell you, folks. You only gave you four of my takeaways. I stopped at that last one because of the shooter where I said this secular and leftist culture teaches and seeks to enforce a blindness to some of the most easily seen and identifiable warning signs that anybody can notice. And this kid was a flashing strobe light of it. Doesn't mean you knew he was going to be a murderer, but nobody. They didn't have him on the radar. Why wasn't he on the radar? This guy's telling everybody. Everybody there's calling him school shooter. Adults knew too. But my fifth item, and it's an old one, but when you read the details of this report, you are reminded of the fifth big takeaway, another thing the left doesn't want to talk about. When seconds count, police are minutes away. I think he fired 140 rounds in the first 3 minutes before police got there, and that was a fast response. My friends, they may not like it, but being armed on your person is about the only thing that's going to matter when seconds count, and that includes teachers in classrooms, whether the unions or the liberals like it or not, my friends. It's it. I'm out of time for today. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.